since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1301. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me for this week, because, you know, Paris and P, they can't join on this episode, the one and only Tony Polanco from Tom's Guide, and also the Throwdown Show. Tony, welcome, man.
Hey, Danny, thank you for having me on, man. It's been a while since I've been on the show. And just so you guys, people know, this was literally set up about like 15 minutes ago. This meeting is like...
Not even. I not think even. It's less than that.
I think you're right.
I think like five minutes ago, something like that.
Yeah, no, but Danny asked me to be on. I'm like, oh, no, I got to be on with Danny, you know?
Yeah, no, nah, it's all good. Nah, but Tony, man, welcome. How you been? It's been, I know you started working at Tom's Guide, and you've been super busy.
Yeah.
Writing some great content over there. We're going to be talking about one of the most recent previews you just wrote, Lenovo Legion Go. But besides that, how's everything with you, man? What's new?
Yeah, it's going good. So, yeah, just a little bit of an update for anybody who's been listening to Gamertag and hasn't known about what's going on with me. So, like, since the last episode I did, I moved out from Flushing. I lived in Flushing, Queens most of my life. I now live in Long Island City. I'm literally, like, Danny, and I timed this, too. From the time I leave my door, the time I'm at my desk, 35 minutes. Like, I get to the city so fast now, you know? And because of that, you know, I'm getting better sleep, which means I do better at work, and it's just better all around. And now it's like, if I want to hang out in the city, I'm going to be like, oh man, I got to calculate what time I'm going to get back. I'm like, it don't matter. You know, I've left concerts at 11 o'clock and been home before midnight. It's great, you know?
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's
and then, you know, Tom's Guide gig, that's been going really well. Like, you know, cause I'm a computing writer there. So basically my main thing is like to review desktops, laptops, tablets, all that. But I'm a gamer at heart, and they know that over there. So they always give me a bunch of stuff. And obviously we're going to talk about one of these products today. So it's been good. The only thing I will say that's a negative is like, I don't get to go to as many like gaming events. So I always see you guys like, you know, at shows. I'm like, man, I wish I was there, you know? Although I did go to a Sega event recently. That was really good in the city.
I was supposed to be in that one. Yeah. I was supposed to be in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
But no, life is good for your boy, man. I'm doing really, really well, man.
That's good. And also, Throwdown Show, how's the podcast doing, man?
Yeah, no, it's going good. We just recently celebrated episode 450 of Throwdown, the main show, and then we're about to do 450 of the question show tonight. So it's like, yo, that's 900 episodes over the last 9 years. That's crazy, you know?
That's crazy. Hey, see, got to keep on doing
that's
your
thing, it,
man.
That's good. That's it,
that's
you
good,
know?
That's yeah. good. Yeah. All right, everyone. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Easy. Follow us, subscribe, and make sure to share the content. Also, if you're on Spotify, we always post poll questions for people could, you know, interact with the episodes while you're listening. And hopefully we could talk about it on the next episode of GTR.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Before we continue, I want to read you two polls. We did like a Starfield review.
Yeah.
We did two parts on that one with one episode with Paris, the other one with Pete. So it's like over almost two hours and 20 something minutes we did.
Wow.
It's a long, long episode. No spoilers, by the way, no spoilers. So I wrote in one of the first poll, I wrote, are you interested in Starfield? 81.4% said yes. 7% said no. 11.6% said maybe. What are your thoughts about that, man? That people are, you know, still talking about Starfield, very interested. Like, the game hasn't been completely out because I think this coming week it's going to be available on Game Pass, and this is like the base game.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised by those numbers, to be honest. Like, this is like the biggest Xbox exclusive this year, probably of this generation right now. Let's just be real here. So it makes sense that people are really excited about it. And it's interesting to me how you said, like, you're right. The game is not actually officially out yet. Like, there's people who get the early access or whatever, but the game comes out September 6th. And that's, to me, when it's really going to blow up. Like, when people, like, you think it's crazy now, it's going to go really nuts, like, when the game comes out. I think, like, this is exactly what people wanted. Like, it's kind of interesting with the reviews and stuff. They've said, like, oh, this is just another Bethesda game. But I'm like, but that's exactly what people want. You don't get these tiny games very often, you know? Like, the last one you got of, like, this time properly was Fallout 4. I know Fallout 76 came out, but I'm talking about a proper single-player Bethesda, like, experience. Fallout 4, right? And Skyrim, that was, like, out years ago, you know? So I don't think that's an issue that it's giving you what you expect. That's what you want. It's like, this chef only cooks this specific meal. Nobody else does it this way. So you want that meal, you know? So I think it's dope. I'm like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Yeah. Do you see yourself playing this game at all? I haven't heard much from you talking about Starfield and stuff, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Just
curious. My thing is, like, I will play, but I don't want to play right now because I don't want to rush it. Like, because the main game I'm waiting for is the new Cyberpunk expansion. That's dropping at the end of September. But if I start playing Starfield now, I'm not going to finish that game by then. And I don't want to rush it. I want to savor it. You know what I'm saying? So that game and Baldur's Gate 3, I'm going to start playing when we are, like, after December or whatever, when we're kind of off for a while, because I want to just lose myself in it. Because, you know, here's the thing. I have my criticisms of Bethesda games, you know, with the bugs and all that. But that is such a cool experience that I don't get from any other game that I want it, you know. So I will definitely be diving in. Even if I'm late to the party, it doesn't matter. It's a single player game. I'm not going to be missing anything, you know. And even with, like, I don't even have to worry about spoilers so much because every experience is so unique. Everybody's going to have their own thing going on. So I'm like, I don't even have to worry about that. So yeah, I'll wait a little bit, but I am definitely going to play it on PC, you know?
On PC, yeah. That's what I've been playing on all. The majority has been PC and the Xbox Series S. I play the X version here and there, and yo, good. And this is the least buggiest Bethesda game that I played so far, you know? So, by the way, and this is not a spoiler. This is not a spoiler. Hmm. But I heard something very crazy happens because I know somebody that's been playing it, and this is like their third time they finished it.
Oh, wow.
New Game Plus. Something happens after that one. Like, this game, there's so much stuff in this game that people don't know. It's amazing, and I can't wait to hear more stories of people that been discovering stuff. Like, for me, I've been, this is my second playthrough, and I'm just focusing 100% side quest, and I've been playing without companions, and that's okay. Option. You could have companions that will also help you unlock more quests. It's similar to The Outer Worlds. When you start talking to your companions, you get close to them, they open up, and then they're going to reveal something that is not available in the game. And unlocks, and it's like you mentioned. So, like, for example, for me, the person that I was playing the most at first was Sam, one of the characters, Sam, and the other one is Sarah. So Sarah, the more I talked to her, we got close. I also tried to be slick and trying to, you know, talk to her like, yo, what's up, you know? but then she opened up. There's like a very cool quest that pops up later in the game. I'm like, okay, this is really dope. This is dope. But make sure to play it. It's really cool. By the way, Tony. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to be talking about this handheld, but I do have a FAMO question that I want to ask you because it relates to PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And that's later in the episode. So,
oh, yeah. We got to talk about that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't mind. All right. So let's talk about this new handheld, Lenovo Legion Go, that I know there was an event, press event in New York City. I think there was other places too.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very curious about this because, one, I love my Switch, love my Steam Deck. Those are the devices that I play so much. And I know there's other handheld devices out there, but there's always going to be issues with the other ones because sometimes they are like 100% Windows handheld, right? Is this something where do you think this one is going to be very worth buying instead of getting a Steam Deck, in your opinion? And tell us a little bit more about this device too.
Yeah, so yeah, just a little bit of history, and I'm going to try. I have to throw something in there, man. You just keeping the real stuff, right? So there was actually an event for this almost a month ago, right? And maybe about a week afterwards, somebody had quote unquote exclusives on it. I'm like, no, you don't have exclusives. You broke embargo, bro. You know, so it was very frustrating to see all these things come out, and I can't talk about it, obviously, because I adhere to the embargo. Anyway, that's besides the point. I decided, Danny, you know how I feel about that stuff. Like you ruin it for everybody. You ruin it for the gamers who are excited. You ruin it for the journals. You ruin it for the PR. It's like, don't do that. Anyway, so the Lenovo Legion Go is, you know, a brand new handheld from Lenovo, right? And here, like you said, this isn't the first one of these consoles. Like, ever since the Steam Deck dropped, everybody's been trying to do their own like handheld, right? Specifically like handhelds that can play PC games, right? So before this, we had the Asus ROG Ally came out, right? I went to one of those events as well. And when I first saw it, you know, and learned about it, I was like, okay, this is kind of dope. This is like, it's like twice as more powerful as the Steam Deck, better screen, 1080p versus 720, you know, the processor was more advanced, and it just felt better. I'm like, okay, this might be legit, right? Windows 11. And what's cool about Windows 11 is obviously you could play whatever game you want on it, right? Got it in, tested it, and at the end of the day, I'm like, Steam Deck's still better. Steam Deck is still better because of the launcher, right? Like on the Asus ROG Ally, basically, you have this launcher called Armory Tray, which is also available on PC. And it brings all your games that are downloaded into one spot, which is great. But the thing is, I know they fixed this by now, but if you clicked on a game, like let's say you clicked on Assassin's Creed, right? It would then take you to the Ubisoft Connect app. So you have to connect through the game through that. And I'm like, you're already taking me out of the experience. And I have to use the right analog stick as a mouse to click on stuff. I'm like, you're already messing this up. Like on Steam Deck, it's not like that. You just click on the game and everything's perfect, right? Mad seamless. So I hear about this Lenovo joint and I'm like, okay, this is also Windows handheld. The same exact processor as the Asus ROG Ally. Oh, I should also add in our testing, right, that we did on our lab testing, the performance wasn't even much better than the Steam Deck, right? Because the difference is the Steam Deck, those games are specifically optimized to run on that hardware, right? That's not the case when it comes to these other handhelds. The games are not optimized. They're just, here's a Windows game, you know? So even though it had a better processor, the performance wasn't there at all. I had to drop the resolution down to 720p in order to get the games to run better than Steam Deck. But I'm like, that defeats the purpose. You're buying this because of the 1080p screen, right? So all these concerns I had with the Lenovo one, because it has a way bigger screen. It's like 8.8 inches, 1600p resolution and stuff. Windows 11, the same Ryzen 1 Extreme chip. So I'm like, that's kind of concerning right now. And here's the other part that was concerning. Lenovo says that at launch, because this thing's, I don't know the exact date, but it's going to launch in October. They say that they're going to have their own launcher called Legion Space, which is supposed to just keep all your games in one spot, launch everything, but they didn't have it ready for preview. I'm like, you're a month out and you don't have this thing ready for preview? That's kind of troubling,
that's
Danny.
That's troubling. Yeah.
So that's what I think of it on the hardware tip, but, you know, again, I can't talk too much about it because I honestly don't know this stuff, but I do want to talk about the hardware aspect of it, because even though it's really, really big, and it weighs like a pound and a half, basically, right? It doesn't feel very heavy. At least to me, it didn't feel very heavy. It felt very like ergonomic and stuff. And just like the Switch, you could take the controllers off and you could set the actual like tablet part down on the table. It has a kickstand and everything, really good kickstand. And I like how, I gotta see this more, but basically with the right analog stick, it comes with this attachment that you can put on the bottom of it, and then you could use the right analog stick kind of like a mouse or like a thumb or wheel or whatever. Kind of interesting how that works. But at the event, they only had like Power Watch simulators. I couldn't try anything like Doom or whatever. So I do think this handheld has a lot of potential, but right now, The Steam Deck is just, it just does everything right. Like that system, when it came out, Danny, it was already more or less perfect out the gate. Like I know they did some adjustments and stuff, but like you guys nailed it on the first try. And then all these other guys are just trying to catch up, you know? And also, you know, just real quick, I also tried this other system. It's called the Aya Neo 2S, also another Windows 11 handheld. And it has the same issues that the ROG Ally has. The launcher just isn't all that. Actually, in that case, the launcher is worse because when you update it, it goes back to Chinese. I'm like, I can't even read this stuff, you know? So yeah, a lot of issues that you do not face on the Steam Deck or the Nintendo Switch, because again, those systems, their UI, their launchers are made specifically for that hardware. And unless they get that right and the launchers, I'm cautiously optimistic, because it is Lenovo. Lenovo knows what they're doing. They've been making, you know, gaming stuff for years, right? But at the same time, so has Asus, and they didn't nail it. You know, so we'll see. But it is good to see companies I've heard of making these devices instead of like, I'm sorry, Aya Neo, I've never heard of you until now. You know, I at least know who Asus is. My two monitors right here are Asus monitors, you know, like, and Lenovo, they do great stuff. But, you know, Steam Deck to me right now is still the king. So this, again, Lenovo Legion Go potential, but we have to see about that.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like all the previews I've seen has been like, games that's not AAA. I wanted to see like, okay, how Doom looks, how other bigger games, how's that gonna look on this handheld? And I haven't seen that yet. That's what I asked you online, like, Tony, I want to see more AAA games. Like, how's that gonna work out? You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, so there will be AAA games, because remember, it's a Windows 11 handheld. But I will say, for the event that I went to, they specifically said they didn't want to have any really violent games on the screen, which kind of makes sense. But no, you could still run everything on this. Every AAA games will run on it. It's just a matter of, will they be a seamless experience or not? You know?
Yeah, no violence game. I mean, there's other games where
at the event.
They could
use. Yeah, at the event. But
yeah, at the event. They could, I mean, this is not violent or anything like that, but let's say you could add in there, I'm trying to think of a big game.
Forza Horizon. Apex, they could have done that.
Forza Horizon, like stuff like that, but why show in the indie games? You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to convince me 100% for something that I'm going to pay that amount for. What, $700 or something?
Yeah,
like
$700. Which I will say, it is the same price as the ROG Ally, because when I saw it, I'm like, this thing's going to be like $1,000, you know. But it's actually competitive with that. But I agree with you, like, because you know your stuff, Danny, and you're even asking me, is this going to have AAA games? Yes, it will, obviously, because it's a Windows 11 thing. But you're right, at the event they should have had a racing game. Will perfectly show off what a system can do. You throw, because even when I went to the ROG Ally event, what game did they have, Danny? They had Forza Horizon 5, and it looked great, you know. So they could have done that as well, you know.
Yeah, and it's not violent at all. That's straight up, you know, straight up a racing game and stuff. But yeah, interesting, man. Here's the thing. I know in your article, in your preview, you wrote that this could potentially be the best handheld out there so far. Do you still believe in that?
Or
that
potential? Was just, yeah, remember
at the moment?
Yeah. No, potential. I still believe it. Yeah, because remember, the key word is potential, because I'm like, okay, because it marries, at least on paper, it marries the best aspects of the Steam Deck, which is, you know, the ability to play your PC games, and the Switch, you know, you taking off the controllers. And I will say this, though, for the final review, I'm actually not going to be the one doing it for Tom's guy. It's going to be my editor, because he actually has like issues with his hands, like carpal tunnel or whatever. So he wants to test it on the like accessibility tip, you know, like even though I'm like handicapped, my hands aren't messed up, so I can't really speak on that. So he wants to test it, because what you could do with the system is it's also compatible with the Legion glasses, I believe that's the name of it. So like, if you want, you could just lay down in your bed with the controller separate and have these glasses on, you could play the game. So I think from an accessibility standpoint, it could be really good. But yeah, I think it has potential, but I need to see how that launcher is, man. Like if they nail that launcher, then they'll be good, you know.
Yeah, I find it very odd that they didn't have it ready for preview mm-hmm. a month before launch.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
And I'll tell you this, because I work in the offices with other brands, you know, like Laptop Mag and Tom's Hardware and Gamer, you know, and we're all there like, yo, what's up with that launcher? Why isn't it ready? We all felt the same way, Danny.
Yeah. Now, question about the controllers. I know you say you could detach it. Two things that I noticed. One thing I noticed is the middle part of that controller. I think that's like the charger of the controller, where you connect it to the device. was that uncomfortable holding it? And number two, how many hours of battery life you could use for that controller? Forget about the device overall, just the controllers itself.
When you unfortunately, they didn't give us anything on battery life, you know, which is frustrating, you know. Detaching the controllers was fine. It's just the muscle memory of detaching the Switch was messing me up. Because, you know, on Switch, you have to press the button on the top and then bring it up, right? On this, the thing you got to press is on the bottom and you got to pull it down. So I'm there trying to pull it up and stuff. They're like, no, Tony, opposite way. So that was fine. Once you did it, it was all good. But yeah, I wish I knew the battery life of the controls, but I want to know the battery life of the system, right? Because even the Steam Deck, this battery life is not all that. You know, and on the
it's like it depends what type of game. If you play like a AAA, it's less battery, but if it's like indie, it lasts a little longer.
Yeah,
I can't remember the top of the head.
Yeah, you're right about that. But like, you know, because you know we always put all these systems through our testing. Like the Steam Deck and the Asus ROG Ally had the same battery life, an hour and 42 minutes. You know, so and this thing has a bigger screen, more, you know, the controller. So I'm like, is that going to affect battery too? You know, so we'll have to see about that. Because you're right, it's like, what's the point of these systems, right? To travel with them. But if you can only get like an hour or two, what's the point? You know, so we'll have to see.
Yeah. Is they mention anything about connecting this to the TV or monitor?
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that with the USB-C. But there's nothing. They didn't tell me about a dock. I want to know about a dock. And I also asked them, like, you know how Switch has, like, you could put the two controllers into, like a housing or whatever and use it as a controller? They said, we don't have any word on that right now. You know, which, when I asked the question, I'm just being real, they gave me a look like, what? Like, they weren't expecting that question, you know?
They weren't prepared for that. And here's the thing, like, you have to be prepared for journalists and creators to ask you these tough, difficult questions. You have to have backup. So if you stay, and I don't know what to say, that's red flag for me, man.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. That's a red flag. Yeah, but they did say you could connect it to external monitor. They did answer that. But I just wanted to know, like, is there going to be a peripheral I could put the controllers in? You know, so they didn't answer that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Anything else from about the device, Tony, that we haven't talked about?
Yeah.
You feel this important?
Yeah, I think we covered mostly just because of the fact that I just previewed it for like maybe like 30 minutes and stuff, and there's just so much I want to know. So there's not much I want to say. But again, I bring up the word again. I think it does have the potential, but at the same time, the Asus ROG Ally had potential too, and look what happened. You know, I want to see a launcher where I never have to leave the launcher. I don't want to see the Windows 11 desktop while playing this thing unless I want to. You know, like as soon as you do that, you kick somebody right out of the experience. And they're planning to sell this thing in Best Buy and Micro Center, which is places where regular people buy this stuff. So to a regular person, they don't want to deal with this stuff. They just want to turn on the system, launch into a game, and that's it. You know, so I want to see what the launcher is about, and I want to see better performance than the Asus ROG Ally because it has the same processor. And again, on paper, it's twice as fast as the processor in the Steam Deck. But okay, on paper, that's fine. But in real life, it's not showing me anything special. You know, so I want to see that. You know, but this obviously won't be the end. I'm very curious to see what other big time companies going to jump in. Like I think like Alienware is going to try their hand too eventually. It's like
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can.
So
see
I think
that.
That's probably going to happen next. But yeah, Danny, I like the system. What is promising me, but I need to actually really go hands on with it. But you know, thankfully, it's dropping in October, so I'm pretty sure. You know, even though I am not going to be doing like the final review, I'm still going to be getting the system. I'll still be doing our tests, and I'm still going to be doing videos for it. So stay tuned for that. And I'm curious, man. But right now, Steam Deck to me, that's the one to beat, man.
Ooh, this is a question that I just remembered to ask the fan: is it loud?
I had an event. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
If it was you can't tell. Okay.
Yeah, you
can
tell. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you could tell even when you hold the device, like the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
I'm on the plane. I can still hear the.
I will. You know, yeah. I didn't hear it, but I felt it. Like because the air comes out the top. Right. So, I did kind of put it to my face, see how hot it gets. You know, like Steam Deck's like, you know, it gets mad.
but does it get Does it get really hot?
No, it was actually pretty cool because they even said there's some like advanced cooling stuff inside of it, you know, to keep the temperatures down, and that could also help performance, you know. So we'll see about that. But yeah, when I played at the event, obviously I want to see what that fan's like after a bunch of hours of play, you know. But even with Steam Deck, you turn it on, it's already hot, you know. So
yeah, but see, yeah. That's the problem though. That's the problem. Okay, it has a new technology in there to help to cool it down. Is that going to help the battery life? Because now you're using more things than besides having the game and operating system and all that.
Yeah,
stuff. You
get what I'm exactly. saying?
Like, it's a lot happening there.
Yeah. And here's the interesting thing, right? One thing I did forget to bring up. So they said that the system's going to have up to a Ryzen Z1 Extreme chip. So I'm like, is there going to be a lesser configuration? Because there is a regular Z1 chip. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a lesser version of it that's going to be like a slightly lower price, because that's what happens with the ROG Ally. Like the one I tested was $700 with the Z1 Extreme, but there is a $599 version, $600 with the other chip. You know, I haven't tested that one. So I'm wondering, is there going to be lesser configurations with this that'll be more, maybe more like appealing to people? But again, it doesn't matter if you don't have the right launcher. I will keep talking about that because that really messed me up with these systems. Like, what's up with these launchers, man? They suck, you know?
Yeah, that's funny. No, but thanks, Tony, for the sneak peek about this, man. The potential great handheld here, man. So, yeah, but make sure, guys, to check out Tony's preview. Now look it up on Tom's Guide and check it out. And also a video. I know there's a video too that I retweeted it on my account on Twitter.
Yeah, appreciate that. So go to Tom's Guide, also on the YouTube channel, Tom's Guide. You know, go to YouTube, search for Tom's Guide. And I think it's like one of our, like, it's just up front. And it's crazy, Dane. I'll say this though, man. Like, like the video we posted it that morning, and within 5 hours, it already had 5,000 views. I think it's like more now. I'm like, yo, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah, people are very curious about it.
Yeah, so
very
curious. So thank you for that, man.
No problem. All right, everyone. So I'm going to take a short break. And once we come back, we're going to play this interview that we recorded with Samsung. This is a couple months ago. This is actually was recorded during Summer Game Fest. And this is an exclusive. And it's about their device that's called Freestyle Gen 2 with Gaming Hub, which think of it as like, let's say your outdoor projector, you put this anywhere, you can start playing your games, watching movies and all that stuff. So we had a great conversation with Samsung and we're going to play it. And once we come back, I have one more question for Tony. This is for fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here, and we have the Samsung team here. We'd like to introduce yourself, and we'll go from there, man.
Yeah, so my name is Mike Lucero. I'm the head of product for gaming here at Samsung.
Yeah, so last year I got to check out a gaming hub here during the Summer Game Fest, and also mobile devices back in 2020. That was like my first time that I experienced xCloud, man. So what's new now? It's been now a couple years now with gaming hub and everything. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about
that. Sure, yeah. And you've been sort of part of every moment that we've had with game streaming and Xbox, and mm-hmm. you know, which has always been a big part of our story, amongst other partners, of course. Mm-hmm. So last year, as you recall, we announced with the Xbox, GeForce Now, NVIDIA, and Utomic. Mm-hmm. Since then, we've had Luna, which is Amazon's streaming service, came out shortly thereafter in sort of second half of the summer. Mm-hmm. And then we just recently announced two other titles, or two other partners. We announced Blacknut and AntStream. Blacknut's sort of a family-friendly, there's something for everyone mm-hmm. Kind of service based in France. And then AntStream is a really fun arcade retro service mm-hmm. that has just all the old Pac-Man, Asteroids, Mortal Kombat, the OG. Mm-hmm. So, and it's all about bringing more breadth of gaming and more choices to more users, and all with the benefit of cloud streaming, which is obviously no console required,
that's
downloads, and no storage. So
yeah, that's the reason why that stood out to me, because there's people that can't afford multiple consoles,
absolutely,
or PC. But everybody has a TV, everybody has a monitor. So I think that's, and plus, especially mobile devices too. So mm-hmm. like, that's a great way for them to try out games on different services just mm-hmm. through the hub. And it's like really, really easy access for them.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is there's so much free content. I mean, obviously there's paid services, which are fantastic,
yeah, of course, yeah.
But there's also a lot of free content on there. There's, for example, you know, Fortnite is the best example. Yeah. I mean, you can, three of our services offer Fortnite. It's all free. You have to, you know, set up accounts and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of work, but you know, you can do it for free. On NVIDIA, on GeForce Now, they have most of the titles that people actually play are free to play. So there's a bunch of, you know, free content there as well. So from an accessibility perspective, and you know, with the freestyle, the price point it's at, it's actually, you think about it, it's, you're basically getting a virtual console, a portable virtual console that with its amazing screen. That's, if you add that up, I mean, a console is $500, you know, then it's an additional, you know, $300, then, you know, that's a pretty good value. I mean, it's a pretty cheap TV in that case.
Yeah, and actually, I was happy that you guys added, because I bought the older Samsung TVs, right? And I was very happy to see that you guys added Gaming Hub in there, too. I was like, all right, and I tested it out, and I think I was playing Outer Worlds. I played, like, a couple of Xbox games and the video games, too. So I was like, all right, this is
Our biggest complaint last year was that people had bought 2021 TVs.
That was I was one of them.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, no, why?
So we strive to continue to have there be value in our TV. We don't want to just sort of be perceived as constantly trying to get more people to buy new TVs. We want to sort of make sure that, you know, your investment today will be as much as we can make it and be sort of future-proof to the degree it can.
Yeah, because I also got the monitor ultra-wide screen.
Yeah.
Game changer for me, because I've been playing all types of games like that. And I honestly think I mentioned to somebody at the booth. I'm like, man, I feel like I became a better gamer. I could see better when it comes to, like, first-person shooters and stuff like that. And now I'm playing Diablo like that.
Too. Yeah,
Diablo
4,
really, really good. So,
can I chime in?
Paris is far. I don't know if it could.
Tell him what I'm doing.
Well, okay. Can we talk about this
product?
Because Paris is playing right now. He's laying down playing Halo right now, laying down. So, Paris, go ahead.
So, I'm actually laying down right now in a tent playing Halo Infinite over xCloud via the Samsung Gaming Hub. But the thing that, as I'm holding this controller, that I wanted to bring up is last year, you didn't have Rumble. Now you do, which is great. And as I'm playing this right now, like I said, sitting in a tent, and actually, what's the name of this product?
It's called the Freestyle.
The Freestyle, which is projected 4K screen right now playing as I look at the roof of this tent, but the response time over this Wi-Fi has been great so far as I'm playing Halo Infinite. And like I said, the fact that it rumbles in here, if I didn't know, you would just think I'm playing off the Xbox right now.
Yeah,
that's how
yeah.
good it is. So it's been great so far.
I'm glad you appreciate it. Our partners have done a great job in, you know, doing that. It's like we've done our job to make the TVs super performant for gameplay and game streaming, and our partners have done a great job making sure that their service is top notch. So, and that partnership has created a great new opportunity to bring more gaming opportunities to more gamers out there. It's like you said, there's so many barriers to entry. Mm-hmm. We're trying to remove those barriers.
I mean, but this to me is a game changer too, because you know, there's gamers that play outdoors, you know, with friends and stuff. They have like their own protect. Yeah. But this is like, I just love the design and the size of this. Like, it's easy to portable, take it everywhere. Yeah. So tell us about like the concept of coming out the right size and all this stuff.
So obviously we tried to pack as much as we could into this form factor, and you know, portability was key as it was being designed. One of the most important aspects of it is what we call keystoning.
It does
auto keystoning, which is essentially, you know, the technology that allows it to have a good, project a good image on the screen. And the auto keystoning basically allows you to go from either a 30 inch screen all the way to a 100 inch screen, depending on how far away you are from the wall or whatever the place where you project. So that technology is key, and it's also, there's technology in there that make sure the colors are super rich. So you've got some, you know, some very vivacious and rich colors in there. When you play Fortnite, for example, optimized for 5.1 Unreal, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks very, very clear. I'm looking at it from the other side, but upside down. But Paris is very comfortable there, laying down.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how realistic. I mean, it looks just like a TV, right?
Yeah, it looks really. I mean, it looks like I'm just got a console connected and playing. Yeah,
so cool. And that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, that should not be a barrier to playing Halo.
Definitely.
It's just be, you know, free to play wherever, and it's like the last piece of unshackling. Is and this also comes with a battery pack, so you can make it completely portable.
So how long the battery?
3 hours.
3 hours.
And, yeah, but it comes with any, you know, ours. We have one that we sell with it that's 3 hours, but you can do any power source. So there's probably some that are longer that could be even longer than that.
Yeah, the team seems like you guys are really, really investing in this gaming hub. Like, what is it? What is it at for your team? Like, new experience, new stuff that you guys would like to add and see this in the future? Because I think again, so many new people that are not don't have a console now could easily pick this up or any devices and just pick up and play, man.
Yeah,
it's super easy, right?
I mean, so we're always looking at what will bring more gamers into the fold. You know, we consider ourselves a platform, a different kind of platform, but you know, a platform where you know both NVIDIA and Xbox and our other partners can live and sort of find their audiences. But, you know, we think there's probably more audiences that can be found. So we just want to, one of the great innovations around this set of announcements here at Summer Game Fest is that we are, some of the titles can be played, for example, with a remote control. So we have a service called AntStream, and you can play Pac-Man with a remote control. So again, taking barriers away, you don't have to buy a controller. You can play that game with a remote control. Also, Black Knight offers similar titles.
Oh, man, I'm very curious how that's going to work. Like, that's cool. That's
it actually works. I mean, it's, yeah, you should try it out.
Yeah, and you know, I noticed the sound of this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a 360 sound. Yeah, you wouldn't expect this. That we
at all, from like the beginning, I'm like, okay, and now, yeah, this is legit, man. So do you guys have a date for this?
Yeah, it's going to be August 23rd is what we're targeting right now.
And price?
$7.99.
That's okay.
Yeah. So with the if you look at the value of if you're playing Xbox game, you're playing Halo on this device, on this portable device for I mean, a console costs $500.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and you could just take it anywhere too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, really cool. Oh, also, monitors. I know. You want to tell a little bit about that too?
Yeah, yeah. We've got an old new OLED ultra wide monitor that looks gorgeous. So it's supported on there as well. So, I mean, our message, again, is more content on more devices. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about. And
I'm glad to see that Samsung is really getting into the gaming, like the gaming part of things, man. Because I feel like I'm a huge fan of the mobile devices. I've been having Samsung device for a long time, TV too. But now seeing you guys getting into now gaming, it's going to help out. Change a lot of things in the industry. I think
we think so. We think we're a different approach to it. You know, we're kind of like Switzerland. You know, we're trying to not take sides. We're trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're working with all types of companies too.
And we'll work with anyone.
Yeah,
it's like we don't want to be we don't want to restrict access to games. We want to increase the access to games. And definitely. Again, not just AAA. I mean, we're talking indies. We're talking retro. We're talking family. We're talking maybe some genres that don't even exist yet.
Yeah, Paris wants to say something. You were going to say something.
No, I just want to say this is so much a console experience because as I'm just sitting here casually playing Halo, whoever account I'm on, people are inviting me to come play Minecraft. Like, it's just the full thing. So I mean, this is great. And pricing everything you're talking about with sound, like I wasn't even thinking about that as far as the audio that's coming out of this. It's great. There's no issue at all. This is like a full console experience.
Yeah,
definitely. Off of this device. It's great.
Great job to you guys.
Thank
man.
You. That's really appreciated.
All right, but thanks a lot for the opportunity to try this out before anybody else seen this.
Yeah, you guys are the first to have an interview.
That's awesome, man. But thanks a lot, man.
And so look forward to working with you guys on the launch and then also seeing you guys here again next year.
Yes, definitely.
Who knows what we'll have next year.
Yeah, that's the best part. So thanks a lot, man.
Okay, awesome.
Cool.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor here, Gamertag Radio, and that's DraftKings. Can you believe we have had 7 months without an NFL game? That's right. 7 months. Well, good thing that's over. NFL is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with Game Day greatness, all customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. Check the app to see what you get. Now, GTR listeners, download now and use code GTR to sign up. New customers can take $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code GTR only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Now, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Called 877-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. See dkng.co/football for eligibility. Our bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right. Thanks to Samsung for the interview. That was pretty cool. And yeah, Paris was in the background trying it out. And actually, we were inside of a tent playing and testing this thing out. And actually, the same area where Samsung had their room next to it was Alan Wake 2. So we were just hanging out with Remedy and Samsung the whole time having drinks. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yo, Dan, so, I'll say Tony, this, though, man, because I've been to a couple of Samsung events myself. Samsung knows how to treat people, man. They do a good job when it comes to their events. I've checked out their monitors, the Odyssey GA G9, and another one I can't talk about. It's like they do things right, man. Samsung's dope.
Yeah. No, that's cool. It's cool. So we're going to I'm going to read this email. That usually, Tony, we get, you know, family questions for people, and I'm very curious to see your thoughts about this, man. So, and it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Tony. So this is about PlayStation subscription and PS Portal. All right. This is from Theos. I believe that's his name. So I've been a subscriber to PlayStation Plus since day one on the PlayStation 3. I have let it lapse periodically, but usually resubscribe to another year within a month and thought the games given to what I paid for were fine. I did decide to later to take advantage of the PlayStation Now closure to get a few years of premium. For $60, the classics are fine. For an extra $20 from the $100 of PS Extra, and thought it was debatable to the mid-tier of Game Pass, but always recommended getting Game Pass instead, since you don't get day one first-party releases, not only for the console, but on PC too, depending on the subscription. However, the recent news with the price increasing by $35 for PlayStation Extra and $40 for PlayStation Premium, I can't even say is available even to the middle to the mid tiers of Game Pass, and will recommend getting Game Pass instead. Once my premium subscription lapses, I won't be resubscribing even to its lowest tier. Here's the question, and this is the part one question.
Okay,
do you think Sony or Microsoft should sell extremely separately to the lower the cost of certain tiers of their subscription services? I don't mind streaming games since I don't have a fiber. However, always choose to download games instead on PlayStation or xCloud. I could still feel the delay, so choose to never use it. I am very disappointed PlayStation 3 games are only playable via streaming. I was hoping, like on the Xbox, it will be downloadable at least on the PlayStation 5. Tony, as a fan of PlayStation, and I know you've probably been playing and using this service for a while, your thoughts about this question and also just overall about the service and the price changes.
Yeah, so Danny, you know, I'm going to talk about that, but since I am also a tech guy, I got to talk about the Portal after the fact, right? If you don't mind.
The Portal, I have the Portal question here.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah, so yeah. Like this guy, I've been subscribed to PlayStation from the jump, from the PS3 days, and I've never actually let it lapse. I've been paying consistently the entire time, right? Mainly for online, right? So I can have those services, and nowadays, mainly for the cloud saves, right? When I saw this news, I was like, yo, Sony, you bugging right now. Like, you bugging. Like, okay, so let's break it down, right? And I don't know the names of the services off the top, so I was going to say the, you know, first, second, whatever. So the entry level one, right, which is the one I'm currently subscribed to, that used to be just the regular PlayStation Plus, and you just got upgraded to it. That's going to release a price. That's going to get a price increase of $20. Like my man said, $35 for the middle tier, and then $40 for the last tier, right? And in my opinion, right, sorry, Sony guys, it's not worth it. Like, I'm even, remember, I've never, ever let it lapse, ever. I've been paying consistently since, like, 2008 or whatever, whenever it came out. I'm considering just dropping this now. Because what am I paying for? $80? Like, okay, cloud game, you know, cloud saves. Hey, oh, and Danny, here's where they get you. This really sticks at me, man. So, unlike PlayStation 4 and 3, I can't back up my saves to anything. I could only upload it to the cloud. So I'm like, if I kill the service, I'm not going to have my cloud saves. I'm not going to have that peace of mind. I can't just back up my stuff, which is very frustrating, right? And then, you know, the other thing, you get like free PlayStation games. Danny, I don't download these games. Like, I'm being real right now. It's like the games they offer either I already own or don't care about. Right. So we got that. And then online, that's good. But I don't really play online very often. I play maybe one online game with the homies every year. Last year was Elden Ring. And this year I haven't played any online games with anybody. So I'm really questioning why I want to keep this service, you know, and I don't blame people that are in my position, man. I think it's a bad deal, you know, because like you said, if you want to compare it to Game Pass, what do you get from that? You get games day one. You don't even get that with PlayStation. You'll get them eventually, you know, but even then you still have to pay for them. Like, you don't get them as part of the service, man. So again, it's like I'm asking myself the same question. You know, I'm from New York, people, with the MTA, I'm like, they just raised the price of the Metro card. Like, one trip is now it used to be $275, now it's $290. I'm like, what am I paying for? So it's funny how literally on the same day or the same week when the MTA raised the prices, PlayStation does this. I'm like, yo, what are you doing to me, man? Like, don't get me wrong, tough. I got money. I make good money, but it's the principle of it. You know, you don't want to be charged extra for something that's not worth it. Again, these prices raised, and they didn't, you saw that blog post they did. They didn't say anything that's coming that's new. Nothing, it stays the same. It's just you getting a jacked up price. For what? You know? And I know I'm going off on a rant now, but it's like, come on, man. What are you doing, Sony? You know? I'll say this, man. Jim Ryan, man, like, this guy's been bad for this company since the jump. It's just nothing but greed and not thinking about the fans, man. It's very upsetting to me. So, yeah, if you want to unsubscribe for this, Danny, you know, I think I will, man. I think I'm going to do it. And for the people listening, if you want to unsubscribe, I'm not going to blame you either, man, because you're not really getting anything of worth. You know, I'm being real right
well,
now.
Well, yeah, well, on that thing right there. So years ago, I was debating, like, okay, should I have multiple online services with PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo? So I decided to cut the PlayStation one because PlayStation, I'm a gamer on that device, but I'm always playing like just single player games. I'm not playing online games. If I'm playing online games, I have the Xbox or just PC. PC is free, so you could just do that. Now with Nintendo, it's not that expensive. I play. I know at first it was $20, and now it's like $40 if you want like the next tier, and it's still cheap. And I do use those services. Like, I play those old games, stuff like that. Now with Xbox. Again, day one, I play games on both. Like, Starfield is available on Game Pass day one, and I could switch from PC to console, fine, no issues. So that's the benefit of that. And plus, I play that the most. And I have the majority of my friends playing that console, you know, so, or PC. So I just don't see myself resubscribing to PlayStation Plus. I stopped a long time ago, but I was just curious to hear from other people that, you know, that use that service a lot, you know, and the other tiers don't care much. I think for me, it's not worth it. I think if you do play online a lot, then maybe get the PlayStation Plus lowest tier. I mean, that's if you're into that stuff, but just want to bring that up to you before we go to the next.
Yeah, segment. I do want to bring this up. I said, you know, before we move on to the next segment, I do got to bring this up. I find it very interesting, right? You know how there are some PlayStation fans that are they will defend anything Sony does, right? I didn't see any of those guys defending this. Nobody's defending this. So I think that tells you a lot right there, you know?
That's not a good sign. But I hope, well, I don't see Sony changing this because once they announce it, that's it. That's all they're going to stay with.
Yeah.
All right, so this is about PlayStation Portal, PS Portal. All right, here goes. I don't get the reason for getting the PlayStation Portal handheld. Why not use a phone? Or if someone wants a bigger screen, get a cheaper $100 Amazon tablet. Reading comments online, people act like as if you have to pay another PlayStation controller on top of the $100 tablet to stream games, forgetting that you need a PS5 to use the $200 or Portal device, right? So you should already have a DualSense to remote play with. Question, do you think it would be a better idea to make a new handheld instead? Tony?
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. This thing doesn't have no Bluetooth. I don't know. I can't play my games outside. It has to be inside the house. I just feel like this is going to be DOA, dead on arrival.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody supporting this.
There's so many things wrong with this thing, man. $200, that's already too steep. And like you said, it's basically just a DualSense cracked in half with a screen in the middle. You know, remote play has always been kind of wishy-washy, you know, excuse me here. You know, it's always been kind of wishy-washy, like when it comes to the stability stuff. You have good Wi-Fi or whatever, you're right. And even Sony said, oh, this is good for like if somebody in your house is, you know, using a TV and you want to like go to another room and play your PlayStation. You really want to pay $200 for that? Like the person in the question said, it's like you could just either use your phone or a tablet instead, you know? And then I have to call it this, the grift that Sony's pulling with this, right? So no Bluetooth. If you want to use headset, you have to buy one of their new headsets that they have like a new technology or whatever that is only compatible with these new headsets. I'm like, so $200, right? $500 for the PlayStation. And then whatever the cost of these headsets is, it's not worth it to me, man. It's not worth it to me at all, you know? And then as far as the question goes, should Sony just make a new handheld? If they do, they're going to have to do something very different. Because right now, as we talked about in the previous segment, this market is very crowded right now. It's very crowded with these systems. So Sony kind of bowed out of it for a reason. It's like when it comes to handhelds, even though I'm obviously a big Steam Deck fan and that is doing great, the king of like objective king of handhelds is Nintendo, right? It's very hard to beat them. But now Sony's going to have Nintendo and Steam Deck to contend with. So if to be honest, you know, this is something we say on Throwdown all the time. This is one of Sony's toe dips. They're just trying to test the waters, see what's up. And if it doesn't take off, which it probably won't, I agree with you, Danny. I think it's dead on arrival. They'll be like, okay, no big loss. Let's move on. But they didn't try hard, you know, because you can't even download your games. So what are we doing here? You know? So I think this thing's a waste of time personally.
Man, PlayStation Vita looks like it was way better than this right now.
Yeah, because it at least had some exclusive games and games you could download. You know, at least it had that. This is just a streaming like device.
Yeah. That's so it. This is kind of, if you think about it, this is like the Wii U version 2.0.
Yeah. And we saw how well that did for Nintendo, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. But here's the thing. That it wasn't you downloading games from there. It was just connected to the device, but you have to be near the device inside your house in order for you to play these games.
Yeah.
Through to the controller.
I really worry that somebody's going to go to a store. They'll be like, oh, look at a PlayStation hell. They buy it and they're like, how come I can't do nothing because they don't own a PS5? You know, I'm afraid that's going to happen. Yeah.
There's going to be people probably going to be confused. Like, oh, man, so this is like the next PlayStation Vita? Mm-hmm. And they'll get it and they're like, wait, I need a PlayStation 5? Wait, yeah. How much I got? It's too much. I think it's going to be too much.
It's too much, man.
Oh, my God.
And even people that know this stuff, they're confused. They're like, what do you mean? What do you mean I can only stream? What do you mean I need a PS5? Yeah. These are gamers saying this. You think the regular person is going to know that? They're not, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tony, just want to say thank you for super last minute joining me here, man. And make sure everyone to follow Tony Polanco. He's always posting great content, not only on Thrilldown Show, but also now Tom's Guy. Tony, anything you want to promote before we wrap this up?
Yeah. First of all, obviously, I want to thank you, Danny, for having me on. You know, I call this the morning podcast. I'm over here having my coffee and stuff, you know.
I had my coffee, too. I had mi cafecito.
And, you know, it's Bustelo, too. You already know how I get down, man.
Bustelo, yeah. Yeah. See, well, today I did my pumpkin spice coffee.
Yes, my man. Yeah, yesterday. Yesterday, because it's pumpkin season, right? I went to Barcade in St. Mark's, and they had the pumpkin beer. So me and my boy Jeffrey, shout out to Jeffrey from PC Bag. Nice. We went down there. But yeah, no, so I want to thank you. I want to thank Paris and Pete. I love you guys. You guys are family. Me, you guys are brothers. You know, great to be on, talking about games and everything. And yeah, if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter. At Romudeth, R-O-M-U-D-E-T-H. And in my bio, you'll see links to all the places you can find me. I'm a computing writer for Tom's Guide. That's my day job. I'm always, not only am I talking about just regular tech hardware, but I'm also talking about video games. Obviously, that's my passion. And we also do Throwdown Show. As I mentioned, we are celebrating episode 450 of both our shows. Throwdown, which comes on at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And throw any questions on Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, both on Twitch, and we're also on YouTube as well. And we, any podcast app you could think of, whatever you're, we're on podcast apps I don't even know about, Danny. Like, we're everywhere, you know?
That's good. Yeah. Get new listeners from everywhere, man. You know?
Yeah, and shout out to you for putting me onto Audio Boom. That's because of that. Like, as soon as I got our platform, it put us everywhere, you know? So,
that's good. It's dope. And the numbers going up. The numbers are going up,
you know? Like, they kind of, like, stabilized a little bit at the beginning of the year, but now I notice, now there's more games coming. Now the podcast numbers are going up, too, you know? And also, I want to promote a new like offshoot of Throwdown show that we're doing. It's called Throwdown Interviews. I'm trying to interview like, you know, big people in the industry. So the first one we had on was Jordan Miner. He released a book called Video Game of the Year, which I'm in. That's like my first printed thing in a book. I'm like, that's dope. We had Khalif Adams. Great conversation with him. And I will say it right now, Danny will be one of our guests coming soon, and we're going to have Paris on. Like, right now, I want to start it with my family, my people, and then we're going to start to branch out and get, like, people I may not personally know, but who people really want to talk to. You know, I think it'll be dope. And it's great. It's just talking to people, just talking about games, and, you know, we let the conversations go where they will and everything. It's fun to do that, man.
Dope. Yeah, I can't wait to do this, man, the next one.
Yes.
Now, here's a poll question of the week for our listeners. Are you interested in the Lenovo Legion Go? Are you interested in the Lenovo Legion Go after the preview that Tony talked about here? We have yes, no, maybe. That's yes, no, or maybe. Let us know. Go right now to Spotify if you're listening to this episode and answer it, and we're going to read it next week. And Tony, I'll let you know everybody's thoughts.
Yes.
For next week.
It's going to be interesting, right, man. Shout out to the Gamertag family, man. You guys are awesome.
Definitely, man. All right, guys. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.